The lesson I chose today was, I titled it, God's Not Dead. I thought about this lesson because I was driving on I-25, and you know how slow that is right there in downtown Dayton in rush hour, and right in front of me there was a car with a bumper sticker, and it said, "Keep calm, God is dead." Yeah, at first it was making me angry just staring at it, and it just kept on staring right back at me. But eventually I started singing a song in my head, and it was, "Our God, He is Alive." And if you want to get out your Bibles and your songbooks and turn it to Psalm number 9, I am going to be doing my lesson based on the song itself, but I'm also going to be using a lot of scripture. So hopefully your fingers don't fall off. The first verse, it talks about God concealed from human sight and the unseen God. And a lot of people out there today want to say, well, God isn't real because I can't see him. Well, if that's the case, then the air around you isn't real. And I know I can't see it, but I know it is there because we breathe it every day. I have faith that when I go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning, that air is going to be there so I can breathe. Just like we have faith that when we go to sleep, when we wake up, when we have hard times and when we even have good times, we all know by faith that God is going to be there for each one of us. Here is some scripture that will tell us that even though we don't see God, we know He is with us 24/7. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it reads, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." The last part of the verse states that God is not going anywhere, regardless of what people think or believe. The second verse I would like to go to is Joshua 1 and verse 5. Joshua 1 and verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." This states that if we are going through some problems, that God will never leave outside. And then if you go down a few verses to verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This tells us that we should not be afraid. Because why? Because God is with us wherever we go. Beyond the Bible, there are hundreds of other signs that God is right there with us. If you take a walk outside and look at how beautiful nature is, only God could design something that amazing. Giving your family a hug and talking to them whenever you want, or even spending time with your friends. He places important people in your life to sometimes remind you that He is always at work. Yes, we will meet God one day, and yes, it will be a glorious day. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." The second verse talks about God talking to the prophets, and that we should, and it talks about His inspired word. I came up with a title card, God's Word versus Man's Word. I don't know if you all was watching or heard from the media when they were voting for the next pope, but they were interviewing people who were there at Vatican City. And there was a lady there that especially I keep remembering this interview all the time. And she was most concerned about what the next pope's beliefs were going to be. I know I was wondering the same exact thing that you all are probably thinking. What does it matter what his beliefs are? If they go by the Bible, which they claim to go by, then they should all have the same beliefs, you would think. The only thing that should matter is what God thinks and what God says. The Bible doesn't change like the pope does. The Bible is perfect and complete. That's what people do. They want to change the Bible. They want to add and even take out scripture from the Bible. And if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Also, Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. And finally, in Revelations, at the end of the book, if you go to chapter 22 and starting in verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. I think God is telling us something. And it's easy and simple to understand. Don't add or take away from the Bible. Now, there are a few phrases that I hear a lot, but if people would just open the Bible up and read it, then they would know the real truth. The first one is, I don't believe I'm a bad person because I don't do anything wrong. Where God says in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is, none is righteous, no, not one. Also, I hear, God doesn't send anyone to hell because God is a God of love. Where God says in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the third phrase that I hear a lot is, if I do good to others, then I will go to heaven. And if you turn to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And the final one that I hear most frequently is, how can you know for sure that you will have eternal life? We're in 1 John 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5 and 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. To be honest, if God wanted to change his word, he could easily do it. But every time I pick up the Bible, guess what? Nothing changes in it at all. And if God doesn't want to change the Bible, then what authority do we have to change it? The third verse, it mostly talks about the feel-good religion that we have today. Yes, I know everybody wants to feel good. It's human nature. But I think we can take that feel-good way too far. Americans spend 90% of their time, even if we don't even notice it, trying to find ways to make ourselves feel good. Many of Americans today are going to programs that are actually teaching themselves that they are in control of their lives and nothing can stop them. These people say, simply believe in yourself. Does this mean that I am supposed to idolize a make-believe image of myself and that I have some special power? Or does it mean I am supposed to stop believing in God and only believe in myself? I don't see in the Bible where it says to believe in myself or in my own strength. In Philippians 3 and verse 3, Philippians 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And also, if you turn to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. They also claim that, well, God wants you to feel good about yourself. Well, that's true, but God also wants us to believe in him, to obey him, to repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ, and keep living a faithful life for God. Would you go visit a dozen doctors until you found one who only told you good things? Regardless of your real medical conditions, surely we would never think of using such reasoning with our physical health. But it is amazing how many people do with their spiritual health every day. People want to hear lies or even half-truths to make what the Bible says go with what they want to feel about, to feel good about. And that's in Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Even Paul warned Timothy about this. Paul warned Timothy that this would happen, and guess what? It is happening right now. So few, and that's in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So few want to hear the truth anymore. But Jesus said in John 8:31 through 32, John 8:31 and verse 32, So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then we come to the last verse, and it's talking about God's plan. And God has many plans in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all of them because we would be here till midnight if I did. And I don't think we all want that. God always has a plan in everything. The plan of life, if you go to Genesis 1, there's the plan of life in the creation. Also, if you stay in Genesis, marriage. God gives marriage a plan. In Genesis 2 and verse 24, Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Also, God has plans for children. And if you go to Genesis 1 and verse 28, And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God, even from the Old Testament, had a plan for our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 52, it talks about the Lord's coming, and in 53, it talks about God's plan for Jesus' crucifixion. But if you would like to turn to Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6, Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, The Lord is our righteousness. God had a plan for Jesus, and his plan was to fulfill the Old Testament in Matthew 5:17, do God's will in John 6:38, destroy Satan's works in Hebrews 2:14, save sinners in Luke 19:10, And if you look at Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about the supremacy of God's Son, which is Jesus Christ, to sit at his right hand, which is mentioned in verse 13. And I found another picture that I liked, and it has to do with keep calm. And it's keep calm and trust in God's plan. Now we get to the chorus of the song. And the reason why I picked creation for the chorus is, from dust our God, he created man. But evolution is the problem that they want to have against creation. Today, people want you to believe that the creation was not God's doing, that it just happened. Atheism is big into the evolution theory because it disproves that God even exists. Now, I have two verses up there, but they read the exact same. So you can either go to Psalms 14 and verse 1 or Psalms 53 and verse 1. The fool says in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Foolishness does not always imply a lack of intelligence. Foolishness indicates an inability to properly apply knowledge. And that is stated in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, the Bible actually has warnings against evolution. If you turn to 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They would say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. People actually think that they deny the fact that God spoke and it was created. They also deny that God actually created the earth. And they also deny that a global flood even happened. But in the Bible, it says it did happen. And we have many scriptures that says it happened. In Romans 1:18-22, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Most atheists were at one time believers whose hearts have darkened. If you turn to 2 Timothy 4:1-4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And what is evolution? It's a myth. And this is what they're talking about today. They also believe in the Big Bang Theory. I do too. I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory, but I believe in the Big Bang. Because God spoke and bang, it happened. And then finally, finally, if you look at the last line, the last sentence in the song, it says the great I am. God is great, because all you have to do is go outside and look around at all the wonders he created. Spending time with family and friends, that is also why God is great. Being able to choose who we want to worship and obey. And I have chosen to believe that God is not dead. No, God is very much alive in every one of us. And I think that that should have been the bumper sticker on that person's car. Finally, God is great also, because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for all of our sins. If you want to today, come and admit that God is alive and that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for all of us, the water is ready for you to be baptized. If you have already been baptized but you have fallen short, then get back up and repent. God is alive for this very reason, to save all of us. Who knows? You could be the reason why God is waiting. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And that, my friends, is why God is still alive and waiting on us. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.